following message is from New Life Gillette series, All In. This week, Pastor Paul brings us part two of this series.
It is good to be with you. I'm Paul, one of the pastors here on staff, and it is so great to be with all of you today as we are in the second week of this All In journey. If you need more information, there's a place out in the lobby you can find out more. You should have received a little blue book when you came in to tell you a little bit more information about what's going on. But it is good to be with all of you in the room. For those of you who are watching online, a bunch of you are home with some of those bugs that are going around. And also, to those of you who are friends over at the prison, it is good to be with you today as well, as we just share together in God's word and seeing where God is calling us to be. You know, as one of the pastors here, one of my jobs is, I have one of the coolest parts of my job, is getting to spend time with a lot of you in so many small groups, whether it's in baptism class or whether it's in Discover New Life class or maybe in the Engage membership class or maybe in some of the life groups that I connect with you or just hanging out in the lobby out there and just talking. You know, one of my favorite questions that I love asking you is has to do with that word favorite. It is, what is your favorite thing about New Life? And I love that question because I get so many amazing answers. There's so many things that you love about New Life. And so I just want to share what are some of those things that I hear over and over again that you get excited about when we talk about New Life. The first one, you love our mission statement. Those words on the wall out there when you're coming in. You know, we love that this is a come as you are church. Because let's face it, every single one of us here have had those moments in our lives, whether it was back when we were in school or whether we were at work or whether maybe it's even another church, but maybe in our own families, we've had those places where we didn't have people saying, just come as you are. Instead, we had those moments where we were feeling judged, not accepted for where we were at the time. So for when we walk through the doors and we see those words, I have heard over and over again how powerfully important those words are to us. That it doesn't matter who we are, where we were, or what we did last night. Just come as you are. But we also love the second part, don't we? Become who you're created to be. You know, that's the cool thing is when we talk about this, we do want you to come as you are, but we also love the idea that that's not where we want us to stay. We all have a journey of faith. This is a hope-filled statement that life is going to get better. For those who are walking with Christ and becoming who they're created to be, it gives us that hope of life being better tomorrow than it was today as we walk with Christ. And so for so many of you, we love this part as well. And then others of us, you know, what I've heard is that we love coming in the morning and we love hearing these words, welcome home. You know, whether it's in the announcement video, sometimes you'll see it on the walls, on the side. We love the words welcome home because let's face it, there's many of us in this room that Gillette didn't used to be our home. We've come from other places. You know that in the city of Gillette, the statistics show that over a 10-year period of time, that the population will change by 40%. That many people coming in and going out. And so when new people come into town, they're looking for a place to build relationships, to feel like it's home, away from home maybe. And so when we share these words, it means so much to people that we're saying to them, welcome home. That this is a place where you're going to feel welcome and just feel loved in the midst of it. And, you know, there's so many other reasons that we love New Life. Here's some other ones. Here's one, Sunday morning music. Do we have an amazing worship band or what? Yeah, they are awesome. I love that music. You know, the other day I asked Mitch if I could join them and he said something about needing skinny jeans. And I told him I'm still kind of skinny and I wear jeans and that wasn't good enough, I guess. You know, but we have a great music team. And but on beyond that, on Sunday mornings, we also, I hear this over and over again, we love the biblical, practical teaching that is shared with us week after week. We love that Pastor Mike digs deeply into the word, but then just brings it to us and presents it in a way that we're like, oh, all right, that makes sense for me. I can apply that into my life. But the cool thing is that's not just happening here on Sunday mornings because I'm also hearing about you that during the week, we also love what's happening in our life groups, that we're getting together in relationships because circles are better than rows, and we're meeting together there, and we're growing in our faith, practically putting the word of God into our life. Do you know that there's 480 people signed up for life groups this year? Is that amazing? That's 20 more than last semester. There's so many things to love about life groups, but that we're not done there. We also get excited when we come in and we bring our children into New Life Kids, New Life Kids Junior, which is that nursery area back there, and on Wednesday nights, New Life Youth. we are excited when our children are getting to know Jesus. And this is an exciting place where that is happening on a week-to-week basis. I also hear that something else that you guys get excited about is that our faith doesn't get stuck inside these walls, but instead it's stirring us to go outside the walls into our community and beyond to things like Blessings in the Backpack, working with the Women's Resource Center, connecting with the Boys and Girls Club in town. And then we go beyond that down to Emmaus Seminary in Haiti, down to Honduras with Vibella and Mission Lazarus. We are reaching the gospel out beyond these walls and sharing it with people that need to hear it. There are so many things exciting going on in New Life. And I hear over and over from many of you those things that you love about New Life. But here's our problem. And yes, there is a problem with all of this. See, because all of you love New Life so much, when you go out into the community and somebody who maybe just moved into town starts saying, I'm looking for a good church, man, you get stoked with the opportunity to say, you got to check out New Life. There are so many cool things going on at New Life. And because of that, many of you are bringing new people in. The church continues to grow and grow, and we are regularly running out of space in so many different areas. You know, running out of space. You know, Pastor Mike talked about the kids zone area that we're just way over capacity last week. We talked about that. Check out his sermon if you want to online. But it's not just there. Our life group rooms, we're running out of space for that. And in our lobby out there, have you checked out the lobby? How crazy busy it is out there. You know, at the end of the worship service here, I'm going to say that line, go in peace, and then you're going to go into the lobby. And that's anything but peaceful out there. I mean, that's just crazy town. I mean, we go out there and we all have our own things that we want to do. Some of you just want to visit with others. Some of you want to go into the visitor area and check out, you know, you get your free gift. Some of you want to go check out Purchase Project. Many of you just want to go get another donut, your fourth one of the day probably. And then there's some of you that need to get to Kid Zone, and so you try to blow through there. It is crazy town in our lobby every single week. Now, the good news for you to hear this is last year in 2019, in the lobby, we only lost 4 people. All right, I exaggerated a little bit. It was only 2, but it's all good. We're still looking for them. We're hoping to find them here eventually. You know, we have all these different space issues in the life of the church. And the problem is that if you think about it, it doesn't match up with our vision statement. Now, as I said, our mission statement is what you see in the wall as you coming in. That's what we're about here at New Life. But we have a vision statement of how we want to reach that mission statement. And this is what it says. New Life's vision statement is we create environments that help people see that Jesus loves them unconditionally and that he died to give them new life. Do you see the struggle that we have then? If we're trying to create environments that are making people feel hospitable and welcomed, then this problem that we have of having too many people is a scary problem that we have. But here's the other problem we have with this. Maybe it's not really a problem, it's an opportunity. Do you know that there are lots of people out there in Gillette who don't yet know what you know? They don't yet know that Jesus loves them unconditionally and that he died to give them new life. They don't yet know that they can have a better life if they walk with Jesus, and that life is not just here on this earth, but it goes all the way into the eternal life with Christ in heaven. There's a lot of people out there that are still wanting to know about Jesus, and the problem is you people are still wanting to tell them about that and say, come to New Life. And so what a great opportunity we have, but a problem at the same time that if all of those people start coming, we don't have enough room for them. I didn't finish my sentence, though. I left off one of the most powerful words in the English dictionary. It's a word that I love because it's a word of hope. You know what the word is? We don't have enough room for them yet. But the opportunity that's in front of us is to create that room. And so the leadership and the membership of New Life have voted to move forward with changing our facility up. We're going to be expanding it and repurposing rooms so that we can make room in our lobby, in our kids area, in our life rooms area, and changing the flow so that when those people who aren't here yet start coming in, that we will be able to create those environments that let them know that they are welcome, that we are hospitable, and we want them to come as they are so that they can get to know Jesus. We want to make sure that people are regularly knowing that phrase again, welcome home. And so we're going to be moving forward into this, but here's the thing that we're going to be all facing. Over this next year, if we're doing this building project, which is supposed to start somewhere around June, we're going to be inconvenienced. We're going to face a lot of stuff in this next year. You know, for instance, when construction starts happening, there's going to be construction vehicles out in our parking lot. And so we're going to lose some of our parking. And so for some of us, we're going to have to park a little bit farther away and walk a few more steps. And then as part of that, we're going to do demolition. Now, my son is going to love the demolition part because demolition causes dirt. And my son Daniel loves dirt. But for many of us, we don't like dirt as much as my son Daniel. And so that's going to be an inconvenience to us. And there's going to be certain times where some of our spaces are going to be repurposed. Maybe some of our life groups are going to be shuffled around to other spaces. And we're going to be inconvenienced. We're going to struggle with some of this. And then on top of that, there might be a morning. You might want to sit down for this. There might be a morning when you come in and we have no way to get a donut to you. I know. No membership. We're not taking another vote today. You know, there's going to be a lot of things that we're going to face in the midst of this year that's in front of us of inconvenience, of struggle, as we are wanting to make room for those who are not here yet. And beyond that, let's face it, when you're doing a building like we're doing, it comes with a price tag. And so the price tag for this one is going to be approximately around $3.5 million. And we're hoping that we're going to be able to, in the midst of our all-in journey here, to raise about $1.25 million, hopefully even a little bit more of that, to do a major down payment on that so that we can get out of debt as fast as we can with that loan. Now, some of you are saying, how in the world? How in the world are we going to do this journey that we're on? How in the world are we going to step into this and deal with these inconveniences and deal with that price tag? Well, I have two answers for us this morning that we need to acknowledge. The first one is one that we're talking about here, and that is we need to be all in. You know, no matter whether it's on a Sunday morning when we come in and things are shifted around a little bit, or we're dealing with dirt, or I hope not, but maybe not even a cup of coffee or a donut. If that's what we have to deal with, then we have to be all in and love each other in the midst of that. And also, when it comes to that price tag, we have to be all in. Whether you're, you know, financially able to just give a little bit or maybe give a bigger chunk, doesn't matter. If we're all in, then God will move in the midst of that. So that's one way. We have to be all in. We have to be in this together. But the second thing is what we're going to talk about the rest of the time. And it comes straight out of the Word of God. And how are we going to do this? Well, it's going to go by this, by faith. That phrase is one of the most powerful phrases in the history of the world, and there's documentation that shows how that looks. By faith. You know, as we look at by faith, we're going to be looking at this passage of Scripture. It's one of my favorite ones, and it's called the Hall of Faith. It's in Hebrews chapter 11, and you might be saying, what is the Hall of Faith? Well, for many of us, we know what the Hall of Fame is. For the different, you know, sports leagues that are out there, the NFL and the Major League Baseball, Hall of Fame is one of those places where for anybody that went above and beyond, who did extraordinary things during their time as a player, they are put into their pictures, their statue, they're put into that Hall of Fame to remember those great things that they did. But beyond that, we're looking at the Hall of Faith. So what is that? Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible, we find this word that the writer of Hebrews wants to show all of these people back in the earlier part of the Bible who lived by faith and show what that life looks like of living by faith. And so we start jumping into there, and he shared this opening passage. He says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things that we cannot see. What a powerful definition of what faith is. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. And is that making sense to you? Basically, it looks like this. You know, for some of us, we're baseball fans, and whether we're like the high school or college or the Major League Baseball, we know that this is spring training time. And so they're just starting to work in the new team. And for all of us, no matter who our team is, I'm a Pittsburgh Pirates fan, you know, I have hope. I have hope that the Pirates are going to win the World Series this year. I have that hope every year, just like you do for your team. But this year, I don't have much faith. that they're going to make it to the World Series. They're just not as good of a team. You know, so again, I always have hope that they're going to get the World Series, but faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. And so faith in God is the understanding that we have watched the faithfulness of God throughout all generations. Because we've seen that faithfulness of God, that we our hope then turns into a confidence that we believe that God is going to do what God says he's going to do. You know, and so in verse 2, we read this then, that through their faith, those people that we're going to be looking at, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. What does that mean? It means we're still talking about them. They had a reputation of living a life of faith. And so here we are still today talking about these men and women who walked with God in faith. So what's some of these great stories? We're going to peek at a few of them. We don't have time for all of them. But starting with the first one here, in verse 4, it says, it was by faith that Abel, one of those early pages in Scripture, there's not much story there, but here we are talking about him. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than his brother Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man and that God showed his approval on his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. You know, Abel, as we look at his story, he was a man of faith in God. He believed that everything that he had in life was because God was providing it for him. He believed that God was always there caring for him and providing for him. And so when Abel had an opportunity to bring a gift to God, he knew it wasn't his own stuff. He was simply offering back to God what God had already given to him. And so because of that, Abel, in faith, knowing that God was still going to provide for him no matter what, offers him this gift and had a great adventure with God. Where Cain, his brother, he had faith in himself. He believed that all that he had was because of his own work. I mean, he believed in God and therefore he brought a gift to God, but his gift came out of his own faith in himself, saying, I got to take care of myself. And so therefore his gift wasn't as appropriate as what Abel's was. And because of that, Cain missed out on the amazing adventure that God had in store for him because he did not want to walk by faith. Another great story, some of you might know this one a little bit. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. Noah was called by God to build a huge boat the size of a football field. And Noah wanted to know, should I or shouldn't I do this? I mean, think about if someone was asked to do that here in Gillette. Can you imagine? Over by Donkey Creek, being told to create a boat because Donkey Creek is going to be flooding. Now, I did hear back in 1984, Donkey Creek actually flooded a little bit. But enough to raise a boat the size of a football field? I'm not sure. I mean, for many of us, when we hear that, if Mitch and Grant started building a boat outside of town by Donkey Creek, we're all going to be saying loco, loco, because that just doesn't make sense to build a boat like that here when it doesn't flood all the time. But even though we don't see a lot of flooding here in Gillette, we know what flooding looks like, whether it's because of living in other parts of the country or whether watching on the news, even down south, they have flooding going on right now. We've seen it. We understand what flooding is. But in Noah's time, they had never seen a flood before. They didn't know what a flood actually was. So when God is telling Noah, I want you to build an ark big enough to house all these animals, can you imagine the craziness that people thought Noah was? But by faith, he was willing to obey God, to step into what God had in store for him, and he had the adventure of a lifetime. Another great story, it was Abraham. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. Abraham, called by God, leaving that comfort of home, comfort of all of his family, all of his friends, being there together, knowing how things worked in that part of the country, but he was called by God to leave there and to go to another part of the world. And the amazing thing is, you know, for us, if we have to do that, we still have cell phones, we got FaceTime, we got Skyping. Abraham didn't have any of those things. He was completely out on his own, simply being with God and God alone. What an adventure. You know, but some of us, we understand some of those emotions because for some of us, we left again where we used to live to come here, Gillette. You know, I still remember about 4 years ago when my family was in the midst of that struggle of wondering, God, where are you calling us to go? We had stepped away from that church where we were serving because we knew God was calling us to something else. We didn't know what that meant. And as we continued to seek and ponder and wonder where God was calling us, we looked first in Pennsylvania because that's what was comfortable to me. I lived in Pennsylvania my whole life and I knew Pennsylvania well. A lot, most of my family lived there, a lot of my friends. I knew it. And so that would have been comfortable for me, but God started stretching us a little bit and looking beyond the borders. And even to the point at one time, we were looking at going to Africa to be missionaries. And that was a little scary, but yeah, okay, we were considering it. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of our praying, in the midst of our pondering, God opened a door wide open and started a conversation with the leadership here with Pastor Mike at New Life in Wyoming. And at first, oh my word, was I scared. I mean, Africa is one thing, but Wyoming, come on. But as we continued to pray and ponder and wonder, God kept opening that door wide open. He said, yeah, Wyoming. And so because of that, just like Abraham, not knowing what he was getting himself into, when we came here, I knew that God was going to show up. I didn't know what that meant. I just knew that because God was calling me, that God was coming here ahead of me and preparing a place for me, that I knew that when I got here in faith, God was going to show up. That's how Abraham looked at his life. He left that comfort of where he was and he moved to where he was going. You know, again, how was I able to do that? Well, because of faith, by faith, because faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. By faith, my family came out here knowing that God was going to show up in a mighty way. We didn't know what that meant, but yet we came. Another cool story, Moses in Hebrews, jumping down to verse 24, it was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought, it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. You know, I look at this story of Moses and I'm just amazed. I mean, if you know the story at all, Moses had it made. I need a quick sip. Moses had it made. He was in the king's palace. He had all of the luxuries that he could ever want, all the comforts that he could ever need. Any toys that he wanted, anytime he needed them. The power and the prestige that he would have had for being in that position, he had it all. But Moses, as he began to know who he was and who he was created to be, by faith, he stepped away from the comfort, the luxuries, so that he could walk in the adventure with God, being willing to walk into where God was calling him to be. You know, for each and every one of us here, we have that same option. We just do. You know, for each and every one of you, you can hear some of those inconveniences we're going to have over this next year. And yes, that financial burden that we're going to be facing. And you could say, you know what? There's other churches in town. And you're right. There are. And there's a lot of those churches that they're not going to be doing any building. So they won't have those inconveniences of dirt and moving rooms around. And they're not going to be asking you to participate in that $3.5 million. And you know what? For my family, we have that same option. We know that there's other churches out there that would love my wife and I to come and be their pastoral family. But when I hear Moses' story, when I read that, my heart is stirred about the opportunity for an adventure that God is placing in front of me. The opportunity to walk alongside of all these other brothers and sisters in Christ to this adventure that God has placed in front of me to see what in the world is God getting us into. You know, the people of God, as God and Moses kept calling them, they did some crazy things. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, he kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea, though they were on dry ground. Can you imagine that moment? Those walls of water next to you, God saying, get through there. Are you nuts, God? And you know what? From the people outside looking in, it was by faith that people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days and the walls came crashing down. Over and over, the people outside looking in at the people of Israel said, you guys are nuts. Why are you doing these things that you're doing? And they're right from the outside looking in. But for those who recognize and realize the faithfulness of God in the midst of the people of God throughout the history of the world, when God calls, he shows up and he walks with his people to lead them where they have the potential to go. You know, this is just some of the great stories that we find in chapter 11. I invite you, when you go home, read the rest of them. All those stories that we find in chapter 11, there's some amazing stories of people of faith that keep going. But that's not the end of it. If we look into the newer part of the Bible and some of their stories, we'd see more people like the disciples and Mary and Martha and Paul and Silas, and the list goes on and on. And then once the Bible ended and church history began, well, we see more people like Augustine and Polycarp and Luther and Calvin and John and Charles Wesley. And as we look more recently, we see people like Mother Teresa, Kanye West, and Billy Graham. And as we look locally into what God has been doing at New Life through from the 70s on, we see amazing men and women of faith, like the early pastors that started New Life, Jerry Rote, and then Isaac and Wes Smith. And then we see amazing lay people walking alongside of them, doing amazing things for God. People like the Lands and the Kissicks and the Haydens and the Shocks. And the list goes on of men and women just like you who were willing to do that crazy thing, the thing that looked nuts, but yet they were willing to take that step of faith to step to where God might have them being and to see what God might do in their midst. Well, guess what, my brothers and sisters in Christ? It's our turn. You know, as the writer of Hebrews 11, as he was finishing and looking at all these stories of these men and women who walked in faith, what was his conclusion? We jump to chapter 12, verse 1, where he writes this, therefore, since we were surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off everything, every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. My friends, it's our turn. It's our turn to step into the possibility, to step into the adventure, to take that step by faith with God to see what God will do in our neck of the woods as God shows up in a deep and a powerful way. So what are we asking you to do? As we go through this all-in journey, what are we hoping that you will do as you walk alongside of us? Well, here's what we want. We want you to seek. We want you to seek God's heart for how he's asking you to partner with us on this journey. Get on your knees in prayer and cry out to God and say, God, help me understand, where are we going to fit into this? And then I want you to listen. Listen intently because God's going to show up. And he's going to walk in your life and help you to understand what he's calling you to in the midst of this journey. So I want you to listen to what God tells you about the steps he would have you take in your relation with him. And then finally, after you spend time with God, we want you to obey. Actually take that step of faith by faith and do what God has put on your heart to do. You know, for all of us, we're going to have those steps of faith every single week as we sacrifice, as we pull alongside each other and love each other when we face those inconveniences, but also that financial piece to be all in. You know, here's what we're looking at. It's in just a couple weeks on March 8th. That's going to be Commitment Sunday. That's the Sunday that we invite you to all come in, and after you have done the seeking and the listening and ready to obey, we're going to have pledge cards available on that Sunday for you, and it doesn't matter whether it's a little bit or whether it's a bigger chunk, that we're all going to come together on this and we're going to bring our pledges forward on that day to what God is calling us to in the midst of that. Now, here's the other piece of that. If you're not able to be here on that Sunday, but you still want to be all in, you still want to connect, we want you to go to newlifegillette.com to the all in page, /all in. And first of all of you can go on there and find out there's so much information about what's going on with all in. But on top of that, there's a little button there that you can push that'll take you to the form where you can share your pledge with all in. You know, Karen and I have been already doing some of this because we knew this was coming. And so we've been doing a lot of seeking and listening and longing to obey God in the midst of this. And so, you know, I'm one of the leaders of the church. And so leaders need to lead and we need to go first. And so I just want to share with you where Karen and I are on this journey. And let me just share with you that we're scared a little bit, or maybe a lot. You know, this fall, one of my oldest kid is getting ready to go off to college. And so we're going to have some extra bills this year that we don't always have. And then 2 years after he goes, then I have another one graduating. And then 2 years after that, I got another one graduating. Then we're going to take a break and let Daniel still go through school. But we're nervous about this. But in the midst of our nervousness, as we did a lot of praying and pondering, you know, we cried out to God and said, God, what should we do? And we thought back to when I was a youth pastor many years ago, I walked with a mentor pastor of mine. His name was Ron. And Ron was leading through a capital funds campaign and a major building project at that time. And he did something that just stirred Karen and I as we were considering this of what we would do. And we're going to just follow Ron's guide that God put that on our heart. And what he did was, well, Karen and I, we tithe every year. And so we give, you know, it's about $1,000 a month that we give throughout the year. And so it ends up being about $12,000 by the end of the year. And what Ron did was he took his tithe and he said, I'm going to give another tithe to this project. And so that's what Karen and I feel called to do, that we're going to give another $12,000 to this project. Now, what we're asking you to do is, once you figure out what God is calling you to spread that over 3 years, which is a very good thing, because if I had to come up with 12 next year, that might be a challenge. 4 is going to be a challenge enough. But yet, we feel that's what God is calling us to, that over those 3 years, 4,000 each year, so that we can be all in. Now, for some of you, you're saying, okay, well, that's not much at all. And others of you, you're saying, holy cow, that's a huge amount of money. And I get that, that we're all at different places at different times in our lives. But for each and every one of us, if we continue to take those steps where God is calling us to, what can God do through the people of God when we are a people of God who are walking by faith? So I invite you, seek, listen, and obey. And let's be on an amazing adventure together. God, I give you thanks that you have shown us in Scripture and then throughout history, these people, these cloud of witnesses who have walked by faith to show us here today what a life of adventure, a life of faith can look like. God, we don't always get it right, and we're struggling to figure out what that means sometimes. So God, we pray in the midst of our seeking and our listening that your Holy Spirit will speak to us and help us to understand how we, in the midst of this journey that New Life is on right now, how we can all step into this, that we can all be all in. God, we thank you that you are here with us today and moving in our hearts and challenging us and changing us. Because God, there are a lot of people in Gillette that are still looking to hear what we hear, that you love us unconditionally, that you have given up everything so that we might have eternal life. So God, may we be a people that has those people in mind, those people who aren't here yet. And may we be the people who take steps of faith. For your glory, in your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.